Mention the word Stockholm and images flow into your mind of blonde hair, blue-eyed Swedes, a city based on the water and a city characterised by its old town. But Stockholm is changing. Thanks to Sweden's generous immigration policies, Stockholm is rapidly becoming a more culturally diverse and certainly very cosmopolitan city. Tell us a little bit about the modern Stockholm and what you can do during a visit. James O'Brien, our resident Swedophile here at ABC Local Radio, who's just returned from, wait for it, his fifth visit to Stockholm in 7 years.
I like the place.
You're taking up citizenship anytime soon. That is amazing.
Maybe. Yeah, no, it's a great city. Look, in some ways, it's very much like Sydney. It's a city based on the water.
Yep.
But it's also the weather extremes. You go there the other time of the year and it's dark. But then you have snow and ice, and look, walking on water that was water 6 months ago and is now ice is just the most fantastic thing.
I guess the problem that we have here is that we tend to have holidays in December, January, the most of us who are working, and so therefore you're there when it's probably at its least attractive.
Absolutely. But the interesting thing is that when it is at its most attractive, which is June, July, August, Swedes go on holidays. Many Swedes have a summer house that they will go to. The other place they go to at that time of the year when it is the warmest is actually they go to Thailand. A lot of Swedes really love Thailand, and in fact, when the tsunami occurred in 2006, lots and lots of Swedes lost their lives.
Yeah, no, the PP Island has a lot of people from Scandinavia there when it happened. James, the population, it's changed a little bit?
Yeah, it certainly has. When I first started going, I would say that Sweden was what you would expect it to be.
Mm.
But they've got really generous immigration policies. You know, when we get upset about a couple of thousand people coming to Australia, I mean, they're talking tens of thousands of people every year. The population is rapidly changing. There is an anti-immigration party. There is their version of One Nation called the Sweden Democrats. They've actually got some members of parliament now. When I was there recently, the big controversy was around begging in the streets. And in fact, there were advertisements in the Tunnelbana, the subway, where put in place by the Sweden Democrats. So there is this gap between those who recognise that that immigration is with some problems and those who, of course, embrace it. And I think one of the things that we all embrace about immigration is the food.
Sure.
And that's certainly evident in the way Sweden is changing and becoming more cosmopolitan.
The only trouble is you tend to find that the further away from, for example, Asia that you get, it tends to get a little remote. I remember a trip to Northern Ireland and going to a Chinese restaurant, and they insisted they didn't have any rice, but they had some chips that I could have with my Chinese.
That'd be lovely. Look, I would agree that still in Stockholm, Asian food isn't so good, but the closer you get to the immigrant groups, I mean, one of the great examples of sort of immigration is there's a Swedish celebrity chef called Marcus Samuelsson. Now, that sounds like a very Swedish name. He's actually from, I think it's Ethiopia originally, so he was raised by Swedes from a very young age. He's become this great celebrity chef. He did Obama's first state dinner. He's had his own TV show. He's now based in New York. He's got a restaurant in Harlem called Red Rooster, which is not chicken in a box. It's a modern take on soul food, and that seems to be what's going on. That a lot of people are growing up in this much more culturally diverse kind of environment and wanting to take the classics and add something new to them.
From memory, smorgasbord was invented in
Absolutely,
Sweden?
Absolutely, yeah, I think so, yeah.
And does it still exist as an art form?
Absolutely, and certainly in terms of breakfast. I mean, I think the modern-day smorgasbord, I would say, though, is these big food halls that you have in Stockholm. There's one on Södermalm, which is the southern island of Stockholm. Wonderful. There's one at Östermalm, which is one of the east, more upmarket parts of the city. And there's these great food halls that you can go into. Mm. And one of the quotes from one of the chefs I spoke to in there, he said, look, we've been this country that's imported things for hundreds of years because we have 6 months of the year when it's really difficult to get things. So we import things, and that's really evident in those big food halls. You just can find anything there. I actually went to one where you could buy Bundaberg ginger beer.
Right? There's also interesting import of Australian wine at one stage, though. I think they used to take several tankers of Australian wine over there every year.
They do, actually. The Swedes have a really interesting attitude towards alcohol. They recognise that they might have had a few problems in the past with alcohol, like we do here in Australia.
So they make some pretty good vodka.
Oh, yeah. They've got a state-run bottle shop called Systembolaget. So it's a monopoly. It's a state-run monopoly. And they import wine from all around the world. A lot of Australian wine. You can buy Aussie wine in a box. The interesting thing is I bought some Jacob's Creek that was cheaper in Stockholm than it was in Sydney.
Wow.
The other thing, too, is the Jacob's Creek have also launched a label there, too, which is a very low alcohol wine. And there's at the moment, there's posters all over the subway.
Isn't that extraordinary? Now, is it a... It's obviously a member of the EU, but yes. It's not a part of the Eurozone.
No, it's not. They've retained the Swedish crown, the krona, which is roughly 6.5 to 1 to the Australian dollar. And it's been fairly consistent. Even as the Australian dollar has fallen against the US dollar, the Swedish 6.5, 5.5, 6.5, 7 to 1 has remained fairly consistent for the last few years. And in terms of affordability, we hear that Stockholm's really expensive. I would say it's probably on a par with Sydney. Some things are pretty expensive. Alcohol is a little bit expensive, but many things are just the same sort of price as you would pay in Sydney.
That's interesting. So you can get the currency before you go? Or
absolutely.
You get it.
Look, I just went to the ATM.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And 6.5, it means you having a reasonable lifestyle.
Absolutely, yep. Yeah. Look, I didn't scrimp or save on this trip. I sort of saved up a little bit beforehand. But, you know, I mean, it depends. If you want to go really upmarket, you can spend a fortune. But if you're happy to have, you know, a good lifestyle, it's absolutely fine. Mm.
What about accommodation? Obviously, you have the major chains there.
Absolutely.
But did you investigate, you know, Airbnb or
I
anything
did.
Like that?
For the first two nights, I stayed at the Hilton, which I thought I'd give myself a bit of a splurge.
Yep.
And for the first two nights. And that was just really fantastic, quite expensive, but a really good. But I stayed in an Airbnb apartment. I've stayed in a few over the last few years. And I got a one-bedroom, like studio style, for just over $100 a night, which I thought was pretty reasonable.
Pretty reasonable, indeed.
So look, yeah, Airbnb is pretty popular there. And, you know, you can actually get sort of reasonably good stuff. I stayed maybe 150 metres from the metro station, so I was able to stay fairly central, which is good.
Public transport's good?
Excellent. What I would suggest to anyone who's going to spend some time in Stockholm, and anything beyond 2 or 3 days, is buy an SL card, and it will take you on all public transport. They've got a public transport system that is integrated.
So you can
catch,
bottle it.
You can catch a bus, you can catch a ferry, you can catch the Tunnelbana or a train. Same card.
Fantastic. Now, if you are going there, what sort of things would be on the must-do list? Things that, you know, would be on the tourist track, but also maybe off the tourist track.
Okay. Look, Gamlestaden, the old town, is an absolute must-do if you're visiting Stockholm.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to many hundreds of years where Sweden was very poor, and also the fact that they've been militarily neutral since about 1815 or thereabouts. The old town is absolutely there.
Was it involved in the Second World War?
No, not at all. They weren't involved in the First or Second World Wars. I think it's about 1815 that the last time Sweden was involved in a military conflict, and it might have been with Norway or Denmark. I don't recall. So the old town is absolutely stunningly beautiful. And you can spend hours and hours wandering around there. Speaking of old things, there is a thing called the Vasa Museum. The Vasa Museum. Now, the Vasa was a ship. It's a very funny story. It was supposed to be the pride of the Swedish military in about 1620. It sank 75 metres after being launched.
A little bit of a Titanic moment.
Anyway, so what happened was maybe 30 or 40 years ago, they discovered it. Was actually still in the harbour in Stockholm. And because Stockholm
it didn't leave the harbour?
No, not at all. The interesting thing about Stockholm is that there is, right in the middle of town, there is a lock called Slussen. Mm. And on one side, it's the Baltic Sea. And on the other side, it's a freshwater lake. So it was the combination of a bit of salt and a bit of freshwater together, which actually allowed it to be preserved. So it was raised from the deep, I think in the 1950s or maybe 1960s, and it's now inside a huge museum on one of the islands there. And I took a friend who was visiting me, one of my old school friends was in Stockholm, and he was just overwhelmed by it. So that's an absolute fantastic thing. The other thing I did with him is you can do a rooftop tour. One of the interesting, so it's kind of like our Harbour Bridge tour, and that you walk around and, you know, you're held on by ropes and all of those sorts of things. Stockholm is a low-rise city. So you don't want to be too high. You can go to there's a telly tower on the outskirts of town, and you can see the landscape.
What's the population?
It's about 1 million. And maybe 1.5 million in the broader kind of area of Stockholm at the moment.
A lot of people were surprised at that. You know, you'd think perhaps it was a little bit more populous than that.
No, look, the interesting thing too about it is that because the city is based on 14 islands, there's water everywhere, and there's lots of green space. So you can actually you never feel like there's too much space. There's too many people around you at any particular time.
So with the island situation, do you need to boat around? Or?
Yeah, look, there are some islands where people actually live on the islands and they sort of catch boats and ferries into work every day. If you are going to Stockholm, any time of the year, I would suggest getting out on the archipelago. In winter, you can do this fantastic cruise where you sort of literally crush through ice. And it's just remarkable. And then in summer, you're going out there and it's beautiful sunshine. And remembering, of course, that at this time of the year, you've got very long days. When I arrived in Stockholm, the sun was setting about 11 p.m. and rising again around 3 a.m. So absolutely get out on the water.
Is that hard to get used to?
No. You just close the window. But it's also like, you know.
It's a novel approach.
But I woke up one morning at 3 o'clock, a little bit jet lagged from arriving, and I looked out the window and I thought, wow, this is really amazing.
I mean, is there many relics from that sort of I know Vikings were Norway, that Viking
Swedes, there were Swedes, the Swedish Vikings too. And like maybe about an hour from Stockholm, you can catch a boat to a town where they still have that sort of Viking reenactment and all that sort of thing. The city itself is around 800 years old, 830 or 840 years old now. So it looks back to those days. The other interesting kind of thing is to remember that during the last ice age, the whole of Sweden was under, I think, 25 kilometres deep of ice.
They're hoping for global warming.
Yeah, so the city is actually getting higher. So Venice is sinking, but Stockholm is actually raising from the ground as all of the pressure from all of those years of the glaciers being on top of them is actually pushing the city up again.
About how long would it be a good time to introduce yourself to the city and maybe enjoy a little holiday there?
Look, I reckon a week would be really great to spend in Stockholm. I mean, I would spend much longer there and have spent much longer there, but I would say a week.
Are there areas around Stockholm that would also be attractive to visit?
Oh, look, there are, but I'm a big fan of Stockholm itself. But you can actually catch the train to a nearby seaside resort called Saltsjöbaden, and that's on the Baltic, and it's just a spectacular area. A fantastic old hotel called the there. There are so many great things to see around the place. One thing I would recommend, anyone who's a fan of Stieg Larsson, the island of Södermalm is where all of the dragon tattoo books were set, and you can do a tour of that. So you walk around and you look at this, that's where that was, this is there, that was.
Is there any ABBA moments to be had?
There is an ABBA museum, yes. There is an ABBA museum which you can go into and Mamma Mia. I went there and it was I've been there twice now, and it's a great fun place, something which is good for all sort of ages. And even if you thought ABBA was a bit, you know, it wasn't really your thing, it's still quite interesting to see that sort of part of Swedish history. And of course, they talk a lot about Australia.
James, is it one of those things where it's possible to get to fairly easily by air?
Yeah, look, I've flown a few different ways over the last few years. I've flown with Air China. China goes from Sydney to Beijing, and then Beijing direct to Stockholm. I know quite a few people who've flown with Lufthansa, which again goes Sydney to Asia, then to Helsinki, and then a drop over. You can also go...
So it's about 25 hours? Or?
Yeah, 20 to 25. And you can also go anywhere in Europe, really, and get there 2 hours from Frankfurt, 2 hours from Munich, 3.5 hours from London.
It's called Stockholm. It's the capital of Sweden. James O'Brien, thanks for being there.
My pleasure.
Monday Night Travel.